going back. I told you a few Sundays ago that when I was here, when y'all let the camera, y'all invited me back, so thank you. I'm back. But I was, we talked about David's pathway to victory a few Sundays ago. So we want to lift off of that today again. My series is spread out because y'all don't like me every so often. So I hope you can remember some of the stuff, but I'm going to recap you. But anyway, today's message is going to come. I'm going to lift up two scriptures for your hearing. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 was one that we had on a few Sundays ago. It said, "But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through." And I'll stop there on my notes here because I wanted you to understand through. God gives us the victory through, which indicated that there was something that needed to happen at that point. And then we go to 1 Samuel 16, 12 and 13. And this is what it says. It said, Jesse sent for him. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and he had a sparkle, and his eyes sparkled. The Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one, anoint him." Samuel took the oil and anointed David in front of his brothers. Immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately, the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day on. We'd like to lift off a part two, David's anointing touch. Pathway to victory, part two, David's anointing touch. I feel like going home. I feel like going home. No trials, no they come. On every hand, oh, I see my goal. Oh, is that anybody beside me? I see my goal. I just feel somebody here. I see.
for somebody. Matter of fact, it was for me. Because sometimes you get stuck in a place and you don't know how you're going to move. But I want a certain notice on the devil today is that his people are going to move. They got to go. They got to go. God gave me this message about your pathway to victory. He gave me an insight on what's happening around us and what may look like we're in some dismal times. But I'm lifting you up today to let you know that there is victory in the atmosphere. When we left off a few Sundays ago, Tim, I want you to get ready to put up the number one slide here. When David was in the presence of his seven brothers, and he was being anointed, put that picture up for me. And I want you to just look at this for a minute. And I'm going to walk you through this pretty swiftly, but very prayerfully, that God will give you what he gave me on this day when we start talking about the anointing touch. David was being anointed by Samuel in the very presence of his father and his brothers, which means that there would have been at least eight people around him at that particular time. So if you began to count the number of people that are around David at that time, you will count that there are eight people to include Samuel and nine with David. But before we lift off, I still in my spirit. Tim, we're good on that one. Tim, in our spirit that there is a spirit of victory moving around in this atmosphere. We declared that in March, and what we said then, I'm going to give you a snapshot for those of you that may have missed it at that time, is that somebody had just experienced a victory. Somebody was in the midst of experiencing a victory, and somebody was expecting a victory. Now, I don't know where you are in respect to victory in your life, but I declare to you that victory is in the neighborhood. We expounded on the fact that I said in the beginning that blessed be to God who gives you the victory through. Understanding very clearly that victory is going to come at a price. There are going to be some things that you're going to have to contend with. There are some things that you're going to have to deal with. There are some things that you may not know that are in your future. But in order to get to, you're going to have to go through. Tell somebody you got to go through. If you're going to get to, you're going to have to go through. Victory is going to cost you something. Now, a lot of us are not willing to pay what victory is going to cost. But let's keep walking down this story. I want to recap this for a minute. I told somebody this morning that I'm an underdog guy. I like the underdog. I like the underdog, the one you least expect to do something, the one you take for granted, the one that you think that may not look like you look, walk like you walk, talk like you talk, act like the underdog. David in this story is the underdog. This story, you saw the picture. He was sitting there, a young lad, and got his brothers walking around. The one who was not invited to the sacrifice, the underdog. The one who his own father forgot to and intentionally didn't invite him to the anointing ceremony. Seven brothers who also prepared themselves but they decided to leave the baby boy out in the field. The underdog. Samuel was on orders from the Lord that he had to go and to anoint the next king. So everybody was invited to the gathering other than David, the underdog. We declare that pathway to victory, sometimes you have to expect to be overlooked. Y'all remember? Let's talk. talking about, and you can expect to be overlooked as you walk this path, if you go around from place to place and things like that. You are going to be overlooked sometime. Just when you think that you are doing something that's very important, you can expect that somebody somewhere is going to overlook you because they are not expecting of you what they... That's right. That's right. They have put you in a category that sometimes you really just don't belong. David, the youngest of eight in the fields, tending to the sheep, getting his hands dirty, working, nurturing, talking to, spending time with the sheep. Put up the second one for me. David, doing something that nobody else wanted to do. Look at this. I search all kind of images to try to figure out which ones were going to fit where we fit in. David, sitting with the sheep. Look at that picture, if you will. If you find something very, very distinctive about that particular picture, anybody see it besides me? You got to look at it closely. Look at it with a spiritual eye just for a minute. I want you to kind of see what I see when I saw this image of David sitting around in the field while everybody else was back at the house. They were all dressed up. They were all cleaned up. They were sitting around waiting on the ceremony to take place. And here you have David that's out in the fields tending to the sheep. Anybody can see it very clearly? Well, let me help you if you can't see it. Right now close to David, you see two white sheep. Anybody saw it? Anybody know where I'm going? Over to the side over there, you see a black sheep. If you look a little bit to the right of the picture where I'm standing or left where you're sitting, you see a brown sheep. It didn't matter what color the sheep was. David was tending to the sheep. Now, what does that tell you about David? It didn't matter who. It didn't matter who their mama was. It didn't matter what herd they came from. It didn't matter where they were born. None of that mattered at all. David was tending to them all. Now, that deserves something in the house of the Lord. Think about, I'm looking out here and I see light skin, brown skin, dark skin. It don't matter what color you are. The man of God is designed, he's prepared to take care of the sheep. What would happen in this world if we would get to the place where it didn't matter who was sitting in front of us? Why is it that this is one of the most separated times in the country where they have so many different people that are gathered in different places because they are gathered with folks that they look like? But David was sitting around with the sheep. Imagine if that were you sitting there with David and the sheep. Well, let me have you understand something, that even as we move forward to this path and we begin to go, and David sitting in the sheep, and next thing you know, here you are, the seven boys who were gathered at that time in the house, they all were come. They'd all come. But none of them made the cut. None of them was the one that God said was the one. They all came before Samuel, and he said, no, 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 no. And then Samuel asked Jesse, the father, he said, don't you have another boy somewhere? And he said, yeah, but there. Samuel said, ain't no buts. Bring him to me. Bring him here to the house. Put the other slide. And in walks David. Dirty. Didn't have time to wash off the residue. He was just summoned to come just like he was. He didn't have to get all dressed up to come. As a matter of fact, he might not even have known why he was coming. But he said, send him and bring him here to me. Now, I want you to look at this picture very carefully again. Again, I search high and low. I'm searching high and low to try to find the right one for the right moment. David in the Bible, they mentioned three brothers by name. They said that there were seven, but the Bible suggests and named them three. The first one, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. Now, if you look at this picture, you can imagine David is the one who Samuel has his hand laid on. And if you look around the picture, you got four men standing. One was the father, Jesse, and the other three were the sons that they mentioned by name. In order for them to be that close to Samuel, they had to have been the ones that were called up. But no. They were not the ones who were chosen. But what's so interesting about that picture is that when you look at the expressions of the ones standing around him, you will begin to see some emotions and you will begin to see some things that were going on in their mind while they were witnessing their baby brother being anointed. Ah, the anointing for David. Look at the brother to the right. He's looking down on him. Like, how dare you be the one? They're the one to the left of him. It don't matter which way, your left, my right, they all both got the same expression. But they're mad and angry. And the one that's in the middle that's looking towards the gentleman in the back that has the white cover on his face and the beard, he looks like the one that's saying, "Dad, how can you allow this to happen? Why is this boy sitting here being anointed? How are you letting this? Don't you know that we are the ones that should be in this position?" Look at the picture. And you know what I got from this? Is that some folk can't handle your anointing. Huh? Some folk ain't going to be happy about where God is going to elevate you. Some folk who are standing close to you, who are standing around you, are going to look at you in disgust because they're trying to figure out how in the world did God choose you and didn't choose me? Why would you choose him and not over me? I'm the one that's been working out here. I'm the one that's been fighting. I'm the one that's been going through. Why is it in the world that you chose him? Ponder the question in your mind. And why was David the one that was being anointed? Why was there the ones around him that was not happy for him? The Bible says that when they laid their hands on David, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was with David immediately. They didn't say it took no time. They didn't say anything happened. They said immediately the Spirit of the Lord took over him and was with him from then on. Immediately. In front of his brothers, immediately in front of his father, immediately in front of those who were hanging around him. You know, God is going to give somebody an immediate blessing. And you watch how folk act when you get an immediate blessing. You get called into the office, and God, if you could not have even been expecting that. David wasn't expecting to be in that place at that particular time. And then he comes in and gets anointed by Samuel. And the next thing you know, man, ain't nobody clapping their hands. Ain't nobody saying, yeah, be glad this happened to you, David. Folk done turned it back on just like that. You been trying to get a promotion on your job. They're trying to get a promotion on your job. Drive up in a brand new car and see how folk act because you got a brand new car. Put on your new dress and come in here on Sunday morning and watch folk look at you and say, "I wonder where in the world did she get that dress from? I wonder why he's wearing that." You watch, folk are not going to be happy about some of the things that God is going to give you. The Lord, the earth is the Lord and the fullness. The fullness, the fullness, the fullness thereof. And everything that dwell. But they're not going to be. But you know one thing I learned in this message is that David, the spirit of David, the Lord knew that David could handle. He knew that David was in position to handle the anointing. Well, I see the questions on your face, but how did he know that he could handle it? Because his heart was ready. Long before the oil got poured on David, he was already anointed. Do you believe that? long before, just like when you get baptized, the water doesn't save you when you get baptized. You do realize that. You had already made a change in your life before you got to the water. So understand the fact that David was the one who was out tending to the sheep, who was out nurturing those who were less fortunate than he was. God knew that David's heart was right. You want to know why sometimes you don't have what you think you deserve? I'll let you fill the blank in. Your heart. God knew that David could handle it. He knew that the brothers would get all puffed up in pride because they got anointed, because they're the ones. You got to be careful of those who puff themselves up and think that they are so deserving of everything that you aren't deserving of. But God knew that David's heart was in the right place. He didn't have to go and search too far, too wide. The Bible says immediately when he was in the presence of Samuel, this is the one, anoint him. So let me ask you a question to ponder your mind and your spirit. Are you David? Or are you one of the brothers who are standing around? Do you have the heart of God? Do you care about the ones that are less fortunate than you are? Are you willing to do the job that nobody else wants to do? Are you willing to help those who need to be helped? Are you willing to go when nobody else is willing to go? You have to ask yourself that question. Because if you come in here every Sunday, 52 Sundays out of the year, if you don't miss church not one, then you have been here for 52 Sundays. And you can't tell me that in 52 Sundays of coming to church every Sunday that your spirit have not been touched enough for you to say that I'm David, my heart is right. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not foolish enough to know, to believe this, that everybody is not at the same place at the same time. I understand that there's a growth process. I understand that you can't just start here, but let me tell you something. Your heart can be right. Yeah, it don't take 20 years to get your heart right. There's some folk that have been on this journey for a long time, and their heart is just as cold. It's just as stone. And they come in here every Sunday. Not this church, maybe something like that church. They come in here, and they come in, and they smile. And you think that they got it going on, but soon as they get home, somebody's going to catch it by the time they get there because their heart is not right. So everybody can't handle the anointing. Your heart has to get right. If you want a true anointing from God, you better search your heart. You better know what's on the inside of your heart. And how do you know when you're showing up in anointing? Tell me, how do you know it, brothers and sisters? Because you don't act the same way. You don't talk the same way. Your language changes. The people you hang around with change. I heard somebody saying it's so profound. If you can't change the people that you're around, then change the people that you're around. Because everybody can't go where you go. Everybody can't drink from the same cup that you drink with. Everybody can't do it. Understand that if you're going to look for victory in your future, you better know and you better understand that the anointing is what's going to make the difference. David could not have handled some of the things that he handled. All we think about when we think about David when we come to this, David is the giant. He's the one that defeated Goliath. Do you think David could have beat Goliath if he didn't have the anointing? I don't know what giants are in your life today, but you're going to need the anointing to fight some of those giants in your life. There are giants that's coming in your life that you hadn't even met yet. There are some things that's coming in your life that you don't even know what's going to happen yet. I promise you, if you keep living, if you keep walking, if you keep breathing, if you keep going from day to day, there is something that's going to happen in your life, and you're going to say, Lord, please, I need your help. But it's going to take the anointing of God to be on your life for you to be able to walk through some of the things in your life. And then it still won't be scary. I don't know how folk do it without the law. I don't know. How will you make it in this world without the law? Huh? And I know you got teenagers. They know God. Matter of fact, I gave my life to Christ when I was a teenager. But I really didn't know God, did you? Don't you realize that the song reminds me, said, Lord, take me back to the place where I first met you. I need to go back to that place, because if I go back to that place, that's where I know I truly know God and God really know me. I had a relationship growing up, which is what you're supposed to do. You have to bring the children up in church. And you keep bringing them, and you keep bringing them, and the food keeps going in, and it keeps pouring. And at some point in time, they will meet God for real. I went, my mama told me I had to go. Daddy told me I had to go. I didn't have no choice. And the boys came to join church. So we came to join church. But it was not until I went through something in my life, on my journey, that I realized that I really knew who God was. God really had touched my spirit, but it took some stuff to get me to that place. You're going to have to go through some stuff to know that you truly have the anointing of God on you. And I even know, even now today, as I stand before you in the presence of God, that there are some things that's going to come up in my future. And if I don't have the power of God with me, there's going to be some things that's going to come up that I'm not going to be able to handle in and of my own. You can't handle some of the stuff in this world by yourself. You've got to have the Spirit of God with you. You've got to have the anointing upon you. You have got to have it with you if you are going to deal with some of the things in this world. I promise you, you've got to have it. Stop waiting on somebody else to give it to you. You can't make it all by yourself on mama's prayers. You're going to have to do some things for yourself. Connect your spirit. Ask the Lord, if you will, Lord, please help me to have my relationship right with you. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't know who holds tomorrow. But what I do know, God, is that I need you on in front of me, because you've already been behind me. How else are we going to deal with 1600 Pennsylvania? I don't even want to give him that much credit. God is already in control. We don't understand the permissive will of God. Sometimes the permissive will of God is for a reason, for you to get closer to God. Yeah, I've been more folk praying now than they ever prayed before. God has a way that's mighty sweet. Yeah. I was going to pray. That God would move. But I promise you that he is moving. But there are some things I'm telling you. The anointing will break the yoke. Understand this message in my spirit. That if you fight this fight of good faith, ask God to give you the anointing. For real. Know it for real. Beg for it for real. David had it in his heart. That's why God gave it to him. God has got something for you to do. I promise you. It ain't just your job to come in here and sit down every Sunday. It ain't just because I'm standing here and I've been working in this church for 30-some years. That's okay. I love what I do. But God just didn't bring you here on Sunday just to be here on Sunday. There's work in the vineyard. There's stuff that's got to be done. But it comes from your heart. Ask God to give you the heart to help. And don't wait till your tragedy comes to start calling on him. Don't wait till you get broken, busted, and disgusted and start asking for God. You know how folk do, man. You don't call on them until you need something. As soon as you get what God gave, what did you thank God, then you go back to doing what you want to do, saying, well, your heart ain't right. You have a heart for God for a temporary fix, just like a drug addict. You want a temporary fix. When you get a temporary fix, you go on about your business. As soon as you come down, it's, oh, Lord, I feel okay now. And then that thing, you know, you're acting and walking and doing what you want to do. You're getting big and bad. But let me tell you something. Your tragedy is something else is going to happen on this path. Ask God to give you a true heart for him. And I promise you that your load might get a little lighter. Not that they won't come, because the loads will come. Burdens will come. Trials will come. Sickness will come. Heartaches. But if you trust God's Spirit, I promise you that the anointing will find its way to your load. Now, I thank y'all for letting me share my heart today, because I see victory in your path. I see it, but you're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to go through something to get to it. Are you prepared to give it up? Are you prepared to live life the same way you've been living it all the time? Now, if you've been living it right and you've been doing things the way God wants you to do, then now God still wants more from you. You can never do enough for God.